Epistaxis Anime by Ink for Human Hands, read by Coprime. Rating: mature. Archive warning: no archive warnings apply. Fandom: Daredevil TV. Relationships: Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags: point of view Matt Murdock, Hurt Comfort, Crack and Angst, Crack treated seriously, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson at Columbia, Getting Together, Mutual Pining, Not Actually Unrequited Love, Jealousy, Human Disaster Matt Murdock, Foggy Nelson is a Good Bro, Lies, Hiding Medical Issues, Medical Inaccuracies, Made Up Illnesses, Lying About Said Illnesses, Alternate Universe, Anime Nosebleeds Are Real, Extended TMNT reference, but probably not for any reason you might guess. Minor Matt Murdock / original male character. And misunderstandings. Summary. Matt has been managing his epistaxis anime, a rare disease that causes its sufferer intense nosebleeds when they experience sexual attraction, just fine until meeting his law school roommate, Foggy, unleashes something within him. Matt struggles to keep his growing feelings and their bloody aftermath in check, all while hiding the true nature of his disease from Foggy. But as the lies and jealousies start to mount, Matt learns there are some status quos that aren't worth preserving. Chapter 1. Our Room, Our Mess. Summary. Matt meets Foggy and has an accident. By law school, Matt Murdock had had to make two major life adjustments more than most people did. He'd had Stick to help him wrangle his heightened senses, but it was sheer embarrassment that had forced Matt to gain control over his baser instincts. Sure, in popular consciousness, the boner took precedence as the more obvious symbol of cis male arousal. And sure, Matt's disorder was so medically niche that only anybody who'd seen a specific episode of 60 Minutes aired in December of 1982 would be able to identify it. But none of that stopped Matt from worrying that one of these days he'd run into someone who recognized his nosebleeds for what they were, an involuntary and messy, oh God, so messy, response to even the slightest twinge of attraction. So he'd conjure up images of what he remembered Jesus looked like on the cross, or try to convince himself that there might be some truth to that saying about kittens dying, and simply willed his horniness away. And it had mostly worked. Matt had been proudly and happily nosebleed-free for the better part of a year when he had the accident. He didn't yet know it, but that fateful event would end up setting the precedent for his whole tenure at law school. And maybe for the rest of his life if he didn't get a grip soon. Definitely not that kind of grip, though. That would only make things worse. It was move-in day, and he'd climbed 3 sets of stairs without breaking a sweat. He was fit, he was healthy, and he was well-adjusted, though it wouldn't be long before that last one would change. He spent those final moments dawdling outside his new dorm room, trying to determine from the shuffling within whether his roommate would be tolerable or if he'd have to expend the effort of finagling a single out of the student office. Matt cataloged the sounds and smells coming from the room like they were tea leaves and he was a fortune teller tasked with predicting his own future. A CD whirring inside a cheap tinny boombox, playing that song he'd been unable to escape since it had hit the top 40 a few months ago. Noise to distract him while he studied. A mini-fridge droning lightly in the corner, crumbs to skitter across the floor and stick to his socks, mold when unplugged for winter break. The curious scent of cured meats, faint enough to indicate that whoever he was hadn't brought any with him, unlike the cinnamon dust Matt could taste coming off an uncovered plate of snickerdoodles. Loved then, and generous enough to share, though Matt still didn't know what to make of the meat. It wasn't much to go on, and even if that last one left him hopeful, there was really nothing for it but to gather his courage and go find out for himself. So, first, Matt took a deep breath, then opened the door straight into an earful of his roommates cussing out the Wi-Fi from a spot on the bed. His voice was earthy and smooth, like wet clay, but what caught Matt's attention more so was the kindness with which he swore, like he was gently, if rudely, chiding the dorm building's router, wherever it might be. Matt maneuvered his cane into his other hand so that he could better adjust the strap on his duffel bag and cleared his throat. "This is room 312, right?" he asked, somewhat pointlessly, but if there was anything he'd picked up from boarding at St. Agnes, it was that starting with, "Hi, I'm your roommate," was for whatever reason the kind of greeting that led to prolonged and targeted ridicule. "Yeah? You looking for somebody?" his roommate said. And from the distracted nature of his reply, Matt guessed he still had his eyes glued to the laptop propped open on his bed. "Looking to move in, actually." Matt walked slowly forward, his cane out in front of him, until he hit what he presumed must be his own bed. He reached down and touched the mattress to gauge its height, then set his bag down and waited for his roommate to have the usual reaction. There was the telltale speed-up of his heart, but then, "Oh, you're my roomie!" He launched himself toward Matt off the bed, hand extended and propelling a wave of fruity shampoo and that vaguely bacon smell forward with him. "Foggy Nelson," he said, as he shook Matt's hand. "Matt Murdock," Matt offered. "Wait," Foggy said, standing back to size him up. "You're not the Matt Murdock that jumped in front of a truck to save that old guy, are you?" "Yeah, but it's no big deal." Matt waved away the recognition. "I just did what anyone would have." He turned his back to his bag and grasped the zipper. "Bullshit. You're a hero." "You're a hero." They were words Matt had heard over the years from many people, from his doctor at the hospital, consolatory and inadequate, from his dad, who'd said them with such pride Matt's stomach ached at the thought of ever disappointing him. They'd come from the mouths of his fellow orphans, brand hot and deployed to hurt. They held history like stone tablets, the meaning beaten into them. He'd forgotten how they could sound away from all that context. The way Foggy said them with such casual conviction caused something to twist in Matt's gut, something low and smoldering and closer to Matt's groin than he'd like. "I'm just a guy," Matt insisted, his words coming out strained as he mentally reviewed the names of the positions in baseball, but it was too late for preventative measures. "Right, okay, you're just a guy. A really, really..." Matt already knew what had caused Foggy to cut himself off. He could taste it. As Foggy'd been talking, the acrid tones of iron splashed down onto the back of Matt's tongue, prophetic only for a time frame too short to be helpful. Blood trickled from his nostrils a second later, spilling over the curve of his upper lip almost apologetically before dropping good manners altogether. Matt raised a hand to his face as blood poured from his nose. Whatever Foggy was saying in the background washed over him as his rising panic took center stage. He tilted his head back, but all that accomplished was to redirect the main flow of his nosebleed from his chin to his throat. It was too little too late, even on that account. The stream had already hit the collar of his sweater. As he gulped down a few more mouthfuls of blood with no sign of it stopping, Matt returned his focus to Foggy in the hopes that he'd somehow be able to help. "Shit, shit. What can I do, buddy?" Foggy was saying as he bounced on his feet from side to side, flapping his wrists fretfully. If he hadn't been so desperate in that moment, Matt might have cracked a blood-stained smile. But insofar as Foggy's anxious stance did nothing to improve Matt's current plight, the best he could manage was a gurgled, "Tissues?" "Fuck, I don't," Foggy began, then whirled around suddenly. "Hang on, maybe this'll work," he said, like he'd been possessed by the ghost of an engineer caught in the 11th hour of an apocalyptic movie, before hurrying to the other side of the room. Matt's stomach churned while he waited. He'd been swallowing too much blood, much more of this and he was going to be sick. Luckily, though, Foggy's deus ex machina didn't take long to produce. Several small, hard objects clattered against what sounded like a ceramic plate, and soon Foggy was pressing a wad of paper towel into Matt's hand. "There are cookie crumbs on it, sorry," Foggy explained, "but it's the best I can do in this situation." Matt applied the paper towel forcefully to his nose to block the ongoing flow of blood. He winced at the feel of its scratchy fibers against his skin, although it softened soon after. The paper absorbed the nosebleed on contact, yielding its stiff shape with the blood's advance, until it had become some shriveled dying thing in his hand. Seeing this, Foggy said, "Okay, that's not gonna last. I'll be right back. Just let me run to the bathroom and snag a roll of toilet paper." He left Matt to race down the hall, footsteps thumping unevenly as he went. Foggy's departure allowed Matt to sit with the less than ideal circumstances he found himself in. This was some first impression. When Foggy came back, it would be to the sight of Matt with blood dribbling down his chin. But what else would he see? Would he see a freak? Matt's chest tightened at the thought that he might have already botched a potential friendship. What surprised him, though, was that he cared so much. He had been a loner growing up, and it had been a long time since he'd let that bother him. No, this was something else. What was it about this guy and his simple statement that had gotten through Matt's defenses? And what did it mean that mere minutes after meeting him, Matt was suffering through the worst nosebleed of his life? These questions floated around Matt's head in the same amount of time what seemed like a pint of blood left it. When Foggy finally reappeared with the promised roll of toilet paper, Matt nearly fainted in gratitude. There was a tearing sound as his savior wrapped several rotations of the toilet paper around his arm, then ripped it. He passed Matt a bunched-up handful for him to replace his now-sopping paper towel with. Matt thanked Foggy, and they stood there for a while, Foggy handing off lengths of toilet paper to Matt, and Matt discarding the casualties into the waste paper basket Foggy set up by his side. As the minutes dragged on, and his nose dripped on, Matt found himself grateful for the running commentary Foggy kept up. Good thing we're not in the ocean. Next time you might want to schedule an appointment at the blood bank first. Okay, you deserve the whole plate of cookies my mom made for us after this. Eventually, and after far too long, the concentrated attack Matt's nose was leading on his dignity ceased, and, true to his word, Foggy patted Matt on the back and handed him a snickerdoodle. Matt munched it obediently, not having the heart to tell Foggy that the copper-tinged aftertaste was really putting a damper on the cookie's flavor. He declined a second one despite Foggy's protests about the paleness of his face, then changed the topic. Be honest, how bad is the floor? Foggy's hair swished across his shoulders as he looked down in confusion. Huh? Oh, crap. He hummed, evaluating the damage. Well, I've seen worse crime scenes on TV, but I've also seen better. So, medium? This is definitely like the Goldilocks of bloodstains. Matt's snort at Foggy's description turned into a groan when he recalled why he'd asked about it in the first place. He'd have to round up some cleaning supplies unless he wanted to lock himself into paying a fee at the end of the school year. Do you know what room the RA is in? I should get this cleaned up before it sets. Foggy sprang into action instead of answering. He grabbed his shoes, something he'd neglected to do when retrieving the toilet paper earlier, and slipped them on, saying, "I think his name is Todd. He should be down on the first floor near the building entrance. Ready?" Matt's mouth set into a frown for the first time since they'd met, bloody nose included. "You don't have to come with me," he told Foggy. "You've been really helpful, but it's my mess." "Uh-uh. We're roommates now. Our room, our mess." Foggy squeezed Matt's shoulder in encouragement before adding, "Besides, you show up alone looking like that, and he's bound to call the police. Come on." Matt brushed the front of his sweater with his fingertips to find it still wet. Obviously, he'd look like a nightmare. "I can just change my shirt," he said, although he was already willing to hazard a guess that his new roommate wasn't going to let him off the hook that easily. Sure enough, Foggy had a response for that ready, too, and as he moved towards the open door and stood by it expectantly, he said, "Nice try, bud, but that bloodstained mustache you've got going on isn't doing you any favors either. You should be in the vampire version of a Got Milk advertisement." Matt burst out laughing. The timbre of his own voice startled him, and when he realized how long it had been since he'd let loose like this, he laughed even harder. He clutched at his heaving sides while Foggy looked on in amusement. You like that one, huh? Once his fit had run its course and he'd caught his breath, he picked up his cane from where he'd lent it on the bed earlier and followed Foggy out the door in renewed spirits. Out in the hallway, Foggy asked, Sorry to be ignorant, but, how does this whole walking thing work? Should I lead the way, or will I get smacked in your ankles with your cane? Matt chuckled sensibly at the bizarre picture Foggy had presented, although he was careful not to get swept up in another bout of laughter. No, he said, shaking his head. We can walk side by side if you let me take your arm. Oh, of course. There was the sound of skin on skin as Foggy smacked himself lightly in the forehead with the palm of his hand. He positioned himself on Matt's left side and stuck his arm out. Matt wiggled the cane in his left hand. Other side, if you won't mind. Oh, sorry. Foggy jogged around Matt to his right side. With Foggy in position, Matt took his elbow and they set off, their paces mismatched at first and the going rough. Foggy was a quick study, however, and by the time they'd made it halfway down the hall, he'd reined in his gait and they'd settled into a comfortable rhythm. As they walked, they listed their top-class choices to fill the silence. It amused Matt greatly that Foggy somehow managed to change his mind about electives twice in the short time it took them to arrive at the RA's door and knock. A muffled call of, just a sec, came from within, followed by some indiscriminate noises that made more sense when juxtaposed with the battle music from some JRPG Matt could make out playing in the background. The push of a button, then a game controller set aside on some sort of hard surface. Matt rubbed his upper lip self-consciously, but he didn't have much time to worry about how his vampire mustache would be received before Todd was opening the door. Yeah? The RA said, exhaling a stream of Diet Pepsi-flavored breath straight at Matt's nostrils. The uptick in pulse Matt had been expecting didn't come. It was likely that, as RA, Todd had seen some things. Hi, we were wondering if you had access to cleaning supplies. Matt took the shortcut his appearance offered to him and pointed at the fallout from his nose. Anything that might get blood out of wood? Well, I don't know if we have anything for that purpose specifically, Todd said, unimpressed. But there's probably something that'll work in the supply closet. Let me grab my key. He disappeared back inside his room for a few seconds, during which Foggy turned to Matt and whispered, Wow, I wouldn't want to do stand-up in front of that guy. He didn't even react. And no offense, dude, but you do look a tiny bit like a murder victim. Matt stifled a laugh just as Todd came back with the key, and they set off down the hall. Just return the stuff to the closet when you're done. I'll lock up later, Todd instructed them, once they'd loaded up with several spray bottles and a roll of paper towels. They said their thanks and headed back up to their room, where Foggy read out the chemical label skeptically, before settling on one he deemed safe for the flooring. Some tag-team scrubbing and an anecdote about the time he blew a spelling bee on the word raspberry later, and Foggy announced it was spotless. He sat back on his heels and dragged a forearm across his brow, letting out a phew. After a slight pause, he said, And here I thought I'd never have to work out again, now that I'm no longer lifting 50-pound cuts of meat at my parents' butcher shop. Sorry, Matt said sheepishly, although his remorse was tempered with the thrill of getting to know more about Foggy. His parents owning a butcher shop explained the mysterious meat smell that clung to his skin and clothes. Foggy got up from his kneeling position, knees groaning as he did so. No biggie. Let's not make it a daily occurrence, though. Otherwise, I might end up qualifying for the Olympics. He swung his arm around as though he were an athlete stretching his rotator cuff. Wearily, he turned to Matt. This doesn't happen often, does it? No, not very, Matt answered. And even if in the moment it wasn't technically a lie, he had a bad feeling it might turn out to be. End chapter 1.